Studio to Touchstone, Hollywood Pictures, the name taken from Eisner's earlier plan to reinvent American International Pictures had he taken over that studio. Walt Disney Pictures, the vehicle for live-action family fare, was placed under Hollywood, reporting to Mestres. Katzenberg had persuaded Eisner over Welles's strenuous objections that another studio would enable Disney to capitalize on the explosive growth in multiplex theaters, which meant far more demand for new films and potentially wide distribution. Welles argued that other studios had tried the same strategy and failed, but other studios didn't have Disney's track record. Katzenberg's 1987 warning that a flop was inevitable now seemed just a fleeting moment of self-doubt that had been proven wrong. In the notoriously fickle business of movie-making, 27 of Disney's first 33 films under the Eisner-Welles-Katzenberg regime had been profitable, including 19 in a row. Disney seemed to have discovered a foolproof formula for hit movies, something that had eluded even the greatest of filmmakers. The only studio that wasn't sharing in Disney's amazing box office success was Walt Disney Productions, the old family-oriented live-action studio that had made Mary Poppins and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. In addition to putting Walt Disney Pictures under the new Hollywood label, Katzenberg also hired David Vogel, a young executive who'd worked with Steven Spielberg on Amblin's Amazing Stories TV series to bring in some fresh ideas. After working at Disney for about a year, he was invited to give a presentation on the studio to Eisner, Welles, Katzenberg, and other studio executives. He spoke for an hour, arguing that Raiders, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Ghostbusters, Cocoon, these are the movies that Walt Disney would have made today. They're not dog and cat movies. They appeal to the child in everyone, not just children. They're about the triumph of the human spirit. In Vogel's view, even Spielberg's Schindler's List, a story about a concentration camp, which had just opened to critical acclaim, could have been a Walt Disney picture. Eisner was enthusiastic, and even though Vogel didn't get much of a budget to implement his ambitious vision, he at least felt he was on Eisner's radar. As production rapidly geared up from 15 to more than 30 films a year, it became harder to stick to the high-concept, low-budget comedies that had made the Disney formula such a success. It was a rule laid down by Eisner that no director could be guaranteed more than $1 million a picture, even as the going rate for top directors rose to the $3 million level. Katzenberg and other Disney executives constantly had to beg top directors and stars to take a cut to make a Disney film. On some projects, they settled for second-rate scripts and talent, like a project Katzenberg approved called 3000, a dark story about a Los Angeles prostitute, which he insisted be rewritten as a modern-day fairy tale. The project was rechristened as Pretty Woman. At a meeting to present the project to Eisner, Katzenberg explained the concept and said the film would star Julia Roberts, who was virtually unknown, and Richard Gere. "You've got to be out of your mind," Eisner said. Gere had been the star of the ill-fated King David. Eisner had never gotten over the fact that Gere had worn skirts, as he put it, actually authentic Hebrew garb of the period, which Eisner felt had alienated mainstream audiences.